I invite you to turn, please, to the book of Genesis, the 48th chapter. Genesis chapter 48. Along with this message, I have inserted in the bulletin an extra data sheet, along with the prayer list and the outline, extra information that you might wish to follow along, or you can take it home with you later and look through these verses. But we have a lot of information to cover. This is going to be more teaching than preaching, but I trust it'll be a blessing to your heart, that which God has given me to share with you today. The text is Genesis chapter 48. I want to read verse 3 and verse 4. And Jacob said unto Joseph, God Almighty appeared unto me at Luz in the land of Canaan, and blessed me, and said unto me, Behold, I will make thee fruitful and multiply thee, and I will make of thee a multitude of people, and will give thee this land, or give this land to thy seed after thee for an everlasting possession. Have you ever known anyone who claimed Christianity but who later denied the faith? They used to be regular churchgoers and expressed great interest in spiritual things, but then they walked away. They don't go to church anymore, at most, very rarely. They don't have any interest in spiritual things. They don't and won't speak about Jesus. The supposed faith which they had seemed to dissipate. Such things happen. If you would think of Judas Iscariot, he had faith, if you will, for about 3.5 years, but then turned against Jesus and betrayed him to the Jewish leadership. His faith didn't last. Then there are the disciples who followed after Jesus for a time, as is recorded in John chapter 6, who after some difficult teaching of which they did not believe, walked away. And John 6 verse 66 says, From that time many of His disciples went back and walked no more with Him. John writes of those apostates in his epistle, They went out from us, but they were not all of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. Their faith didn't last. I wonder, what type of faith do you have? Is your faith a temporary one, or will what you believe carry you throughout your life? I trust and pray that your faith in Jesus as your Savior is one that will stick. That it is a lifelong faith. And that's what I've chosen to entitle this message today, Lifelong Faith. Let's pray. God, thank you for the day and those who are able to be with us. We pray for those that are sick and not able to be here, those recovering from surgery. We pray for the bereaved that you would comfort. Lord, we just ask that you would meet all these needs. And now as we've come together in your name today, we pray that our songs have been to your praise and you've heard our prayers. And Lord, we pray that you bless your word as it goes out. That which you've laid upon my heart to share, I pray that you would speak it as a blessing to every one of us. And we pray for those in our midst that are lost, that they might see their need of Jesus Christ, that you would save them today. And may each of us who are saved, Lord, be found faithful and true. And may we love you, may we serve you. And just forgive us where we fall short. So we commit this time to you today, and may your will be done. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Lifelong faith is what we want to think about today. And we think about this passage, and we'll come back to it in just a little while. But down near the end of his life, Jacob got sick, and Joseph brought his sons in to receive a blessing. And at that time, Jacob speaks to Joseph and relates a long-standing promise from God, which we read in our text. And this regards the inheritance of the promised land. Jacob uses this as a preface to claiming Ephraim and Manasseh as his direct descendants. Now, what jumps out to me and what I wish to emphasize is the time between the initial event at Luz and this late date recollection. I intend to prove to you that nearly 70 years have passed since Bethel. Jacob had named Luz Bethel, same place. Beyond that, I'm going to demonstrate the similar scenarios found within four generations, beginning with Abraham down to Joseph. Therefore, I shall not look at Jacob alone, but also Abraham, Isaac,
Jacob.
And following Jacob, Joseph. For this, I have a great deal of historical data, which you have in your bulletin, which will assist you. And so let's just go through, see what the Scripture has to tell us, and see if you don't discover here a lifelong faith. Go, if you would, back to the beginning of our story with Abraham, Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. I have listed this text as the initial pre-blessing. Because, and I say that because when you think about the promise to Abraham about inheriting the land, it's not written here in express terminology, not recorded for us in those exact words in Genesis chapter 12. But it certainly, it begins with this area where Abraham's being called out and God says, I will bless thee and so forth. Well, you'll understand as we read, but I call this as the initial pre-blessing, Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 through verse 3. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. I mean, there's so much encompassed here, even the prophecy of the coming of the Messiah through his line and all that. But here's the pre-blessing. He says, go out and I'm going to show you a land. Well, Abraham at this time is 75 years old. That surpasses most of us here today. 75 years. Well, if you go through and read Genesis and the intervening passages, you'll find he comes down into Canaan. After a period of time, famine comes into the land, so he goes down into Egypt. And after the famine is gone, he returns from Egypt back into the land. And that was when he split ways with Lot. You remember his nephew, Lot? They split ways. Lot chose the well-watered plains and went and pitched his tent towards Sodom and Gomorrah. And, well, that brings us to chapter 13. Come back out of Egypt. Lot splits with him. Genesis chapter 13. What we have here is now an explicit statement of the promised land being offered to Abraham. Chapter 13, verse 14 says, and the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art, northward, southward, and eastward, and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land in the length of it, and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. And so you find an explicit statement, God telling Abraham, this land of Canaan, this is a promised land. Now, what we find, if you'll read through the remaining portions after this, that, bunch of the neighboring nations come down, fight against Sodom and Gomorrah and the other nations, and carried away Lot into captivity. And Abraham got his family and his friends in the area there, and they went out and rescued Lot. Came back. When he was coming back, he met up with Melchizedek. You remember Melchizedek? Well, look over to Genesis chapter 15. Genesis chapter 15, and he meets up with Melchizedek. And following that encounter is a confirmation of the promise that we just mentioned in chapter 13, which was alluded to in the beginning of chapter 12 to begin with. But Genesis chapter 15, look at verse 5. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars or count the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord and he counted it to him for righteousness. And he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of the Ur of the Chaldees, notice, to give thee this land to inherit it. Now, we don't have a time frame to this, but I'm absolutely convinced that this is pre-Ishmael days. If you know your history at all, you understand a little bit about Abraham and Sarah tried to fulfill God's promises without God, and then they gave the maid to Hagar to Abraham, and he had a son by him. His name was Ishmael. And Ishmael was the statement is made in chapter 16 and in verse 16 that when Ishmael was born, Abraham was 86 years old. So he left Haran at 75, came into the land of Canaan, went down to Egypt, came back out of Egypt. Somewhere in this course of events, we saw chapter 15 and that promise made unto him. And then Ishmael was born when he was 86. So pre-86, our promise in Genesis 15, that reaffirmation was extended unto him. So, chapter 13 and chapter 15, those promises were pre 86 years of age, somewhere between that 75 and 86. Well, if you'll go to chapter 17 then, there's another confirmation of the promise. Chapter 17 and verse 7. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee in their generations for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee, and I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. Again, I will give you the land, it's yours. And then he gives them the covenant of circumcision to Abraham. Well, you read the intervening passages, you'll understand about the issue of Sodom and Gomorrah and how that was destroyed. In the passage of time, we find that Abraham was 100 years old when he has the son of promise, which is Isaac. And chapter 21, verse 5 will tell you that Isaac was born when Abraham was 100 years old. If you know a little bit about your history, after Isaac grows up just a little bit, that he offers up Isaac upon the mount there in Genesis chapter 22, and especially verse 15 through verse 18 talks about Abraham's faith regarding Isaac. And as a matter of fact, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 17 and verse 18 makes reference to this. We're going to read that later, so I'm not going to read that now, but it said, "In Isaac shall thy seed be called." God's promise to Abraham about the land of promise, how they're going to inherit the land, does not go through Ishmael. It goes through Isaac. Isaac is the son of promise. Now, in order to continue to tie these pieces together, and if you're following along on the outline, you'll see that there's a section that I've listed as a chronology. Just going to offer you some information, not look at these references too much. I will look at one verse within this phrase, but let's put some of this piece together, I hope. I trust I can explain it to you well enough for you to follow along. What you'll find in Genesis chapter 23, verse 1, is that Sarah, his wife, dies. She's 127 when he dies. And according to Genesis 17, 17, Abraham was 10 years older than Sarah. So when Abraham had when Isaac was born, Abraham was 100, Sarah was 90. So you think your childbirth was tough. She was 90 when she gave birth to this child. And so Sarah lived another 37 years. She dies. That makes Abraham 137 years old. Genesis chapter 24. After the death of Sarah, Abraham commissions the servant of his house to go up into the Haran in that area to try to find a wife for Isaac. And so I want you to notice in chapter 24 and verse 7, as he instructs this servant in regard to what he is supposed to do, he makes a reference to the promise. And so I've outlined that for you, and I put it in bold because I want you to notice 24:7, where he tells him, "The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me, and that sware unto me, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land. He shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife for my son from thence." And so in the midst of that promise that God's going to go before and help this guy find Rebekah and bring her back, he makes the statement, "God who made the promise to me that this land is ours." You see that? Well, of course, we think about Isaac now. We're making a short transition here because we have Abraham, we have Isaac. I mentioned the death of Sarah. Isaac was 40 years old when he was married to Rebekah. That's Genesis chapter 25 and verse 20. He was 40 years old. His mother had been dead for 3 years. And Isaac married Rebekah when he was 40. She didn't, Rebecca wasn't real fertile, or he wasn't real fertile, one of the two, but anyway, they were barren. And Isaac was 60 years old when Jacob and Esau was born. Now remember, our initial promise was Jacob speaking to Joseph. Now we enter in the fellow Jacob, Genesis chapter 25, verse 26. And that would make then that Isaac was 75 years old when his father Abraham died, Genesis 25, 7. Abraham died when he was 175 years old, and since he was 100 when Isaac was born, that makes Isaac 75 years old. And so you follow that. I submit unto you, as we wrap up Abraham for just a few moments here, that it's safe to believe that Abraham believed to his death that that which God had promised him, and I believe absolutely beyond a shadow of doubt that he would have taught Isaac the very same promise. Initially, Genesis 12, specifically Genesis 15, 17, the reaffirmation, we see these verses down through here. I believe that Abraham believed it all the way to his death, that very same promise. And so, if you turn to Genesis chapter 26, and we'll throw some more information in here about Abraham in a little while, but now we kind of transition, thank you. I heard that. That was exactly the word I was looking for. I want to think about Isaac for just a moment. Isaac. In Genesis chapter 26, God appears to Isaac regarding that very same promise. Now, Isaac had been taught that by Abraham, no doubt. But now God speaks to him, and it's in chapter 26, verse 1 through verse 4. Now, I'm going to guesstimate, don't know the time, just like we don't know about Abraham. It was just pre-86 years old when he received the statement. I don't know exactly how old Isaac was here, but I'm going to guesstimate that he was 100 years old. And I think it's a good guesstimation. So, but Genesis 26, verse 1. And there was a famine in the land beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. And the Lord appeared unto him and said, Go not down into Egypt, dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee, and I will bless thee. For unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father. And I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and I will give unto thy seed all these countries, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Again, so much is encompassed there. But what you find is that God spoke to Isaac and said, This is your land, the same land that I promised to your dad and promising to you. Again, he was about 100 years old. Well, Isaac has those children, Jacob and Esau. I hope you remember the story about Jacob deceiving Isaac and stealing the blessing that was going to go to Esau and all that. And after Jacob had stolen Esau's blessing, well, Esau was going to kill Isaac because of it, and so they were fearful for his life, and so they sent him away back into the family up north in order to protect him. Go to Genesis chapter 28. And when Isaac sends Jacob away, he says something to him here. Chapter 28, and in verse 3, they're sending Jacob away. And he says, And God Almighty bless thee, and make thee fruitful, and multiply thee, that thou mayest be a multitude of people, notice, and give thee the blessing of Abraham, to thee and to thy seed with thee, what's the blessing? That thou mayest inherit the land where there art a stranger, which God gave unto Abraham. You see the linkage here. God promised Abraham the land. He told Isaac about it. God came to Isaac, told him about it. And now when Isaac is sending Jacob away, he says, Oh, by the way, may God bless you. May you inherit the promise. And so the promise line goes through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It doesn't go through Esau. It goes through Jacob. And so the promise of the inheritance of the land comes that way. Now, when this promise is made to him, and we'll look at a chronology in just a second that will prove this number, very close anyway. Isaac was approximately 138 years old when he makes this statement to Jacob and said, go up north and God will bless you and watch over you. Now, Isaac's going to live 180 years. But if he's 138 when he makes this statement to Jacob, and we guesstimated that God appeared to him when he was 100, so that promise has stayed in his heart and his mind for how long? 38 years. And he's still going to live more throughout his life, but 38 years has passed. So let's transition from Isaac to Jacob, which is more of our concern within the passage where this is generated from. Isaac and Rebekah sends away Jacob. He takes off and he stops at Bethel, or Luz. And he sees this vision of the angels coming up and down and all that. God speaks to him, gives him the promise. And he goes on up to Haran. I trust you know the story. He works there. He gets married. He ends up with four wives and he has a bunch of children. And, well, through the passage of time, he worked 14 years for his wives, and he worked another 6 years in order to get his herds and all that. So he was in the area of Haran, or the notes say Padan Aram, for 20 years. Genesis chapter 35. Genesis chapter 35. Jacob now is leaving Haran or Padan Aram and coming back to the land of promise. He's been gone for 20 years. Chapter 35, verse 11. God appears to him when he comes back on his trip back. And verse 11 says, and God said unto him, I am God Almighty, be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall be of thee, and kings shall come out of thy loins. And the land which I gave to Abraham, to Isaac, I will give to thee, I will give it, and to thy seed after thee will I give this land. There's another promise. Promised him on the way out at Bethel. And he comes back after 20 years. And it's a confirmation of the promise. I submit unto you that Jacob was approximately 99 years old at this time. And 21 years had passed since his initial promise at Luz or Bethel. Proof of that, here's the chronology. If you have it, you just glance through the outline. You have to work backwards in order to get these numbers. That's why I provided you the outline so you can look at it later and see if I told you the truth or not. But here we go. Jacob lived in Egypt. Remember, you know, Joseph was sold into captivity through a period of time. Jacob went down with his family. They were in Egypt and all that. Well, Jacob lived in Egypt and he died at the age of 147. Young man died at 147. This is Genesis chapter 47, verse 28. And when we look at Genesis chapter 48, well, he's about 146 because he's speaking to his Joseph and his sons right before his death. He dies at 147. Now what you have to do is you have to back figure, because the Bible tells us in chapter 47 verse 9 that he was 130 when he stood before Pharaoh. So he lived in Egypt after they moved there for 17 years. Now Jacob was 121 when Joseph stood before Pharaoh. I know that because if you remember the story, there were 7 years of plenty and then 7 years of famine. During the second year of famine is when Joseph brought all of his family down into Egypt. That makes 9 years. And so if Jacob stood before Pharaoh at 130, Joseph stood before Pharaoh when he was 30, which meant that Jacob would have been 121. Now, when you back figure from 121, knowing Joseph's age, that he was 30 when Jacob was there at 121. That means Jacob was 91 when Joseph was born. They had late childbirth, didn't they? So here's Jacob. He was 91 when Joseph was born. Now, if you'll go through the account of when he had his wives, you know, and he served for Rachel and he didn't get her. He got cheated, got Leah, and then he served another 7 years for Rachel. And after the first 7 years, they started having children. He had a whole bunch of children in a span of about 6.5-7 years. Joseph was the latest one to be born. So if you take that, about 14 years. Joseph was born before Jacob began to work for his living. That means if you take off that approximately 13, 14 years, if Jacob was 91 when Joseph was born, that means he was approximately 78 years old when he departed Canaan to seek a wife. So when I mentioned to you about Isaac speaking to Jacob in chapter 28, verse 3 and verse 4, he was about 78 years old. If you'll go to our text, which is chapter 48 in verse 3 and verse 4, he's in the last year of his life. He's standing before Joseph, speaking to him. He's 146, 147 years old. That means, if my math is correct, from the time he was at Bethel until the time we have the promise in the passage, which is our text, it was 68 years had passed. 68 years had passed. But we have to transition to these other guys. And so we have the promise made. To who? Abraham. We give you some time on that. The promise was made to Isaac. We gave you some time on that. The promise was made to Jacob. Well, I trust you understand a little bit about the story of how when he came into the land of Canaan, Joseph was sold into slavery. He ended up down in Egypt. And he ended up in prison. And the Pharaoh had these dreams. And Joseph interpreted the dreams. And, of course, the Pharaoh puts Joseph over the land of Egypt. You remember all that? And this is just a quick synopsis. Man, you're getting a study in the book of Genesis in 35 minutes. You can't beat that. Went down into Egypt. Stood before Pharaoh. There were 7 years of plenty and then 7 years of famine. And, of course, Jacob came down in the ninth year and so forth. We already expressed that to you. Jacob comes into Egypt. So now he's down in Egypt. We're in our text again. Jacob blesses Joseph's boys when he is about 146 or 147 years old. You know what that makes Joseph at this time? Joseph is 56, about 56 years of age, when he brings in those two boys, Ephraim and Manasseh, to be blessed by Jacob. 56 years old. You say, what's the big deal about that? Well, we want to finish out with our item number 4, chapter 50, book of Genesis, chapter 50. When Joseph dies, before he dies, he tells them and gives them instruction. And we're going to finish up the assessment of these four characters by looking at Genesis chapter 50 and verse 24 through the end of the chapter. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I die. And God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land. What's he telling them? Unto the land which he sware to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones from hence. So Joseph died, being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. So Joseph dies at 110. Right before his death, he says, don't bury me here. You keep me alive, or you keep my bones around, because when you go back to the land of Canaan, I'm going to go with you. And he died at 110. Now when Jacob blessed the sons, or received the sons of Ephraim and Manasseh, I said to you that Joseph was 56 years old, thereabout. He died 54 years later. 54 years later. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11. Let me offer you an assessment. All the information that I gave you, if you're able to follow it and keep along with the outline and all that, how long was their faith? Abraham responded to God's promise at least 90 years. Remember, it was pre-86. We don't know how long it was. But he died at 175. For at least 90 years, that's older than any of us here, Abraham believed God that he was going to receive the promised land as an inheritance. What about his son Isaac? Isaac knew it practically all of his life. I'm absolutely convinced Abraham taught those children. This is God's promise to me and it's coming to you. You're the son of promise. He knew it all of his life. But how long did he respond? Well, from the promise that he was understood when God appeared to Isaac to the time of his death was 80 years. That's a lifelong faith, isn't it? 80 years he believed it. And of course, his son, Jacob, he knew it. He knew it again all his life, didn't he? Do you recognize, if you look at those numbers, do you know that Jacob was 15 years old when Abraham died? You know that Abraham not only told Isaac, he told Jacob. And Isaac told Jacob, we know that we have the promise, but he knew it all of his life. But from the time that he knew it, from God's mouth, from the statement that was declared, to the time of his death, 68 years. I demonstrate to you from the introduction of the message, that's what took place from Bethel to the time of his death, 68 years. And I've just demonstrated to you very briefly that Joseph also would have known all of his life. He would have been taught. Jacob no doubt taught them. And he, from the time of his recognition or the having the direct knowledge that Jacob's speaking to Joseph, 54 years. 54 years. Now all four of these guys are mentioned in the Great Hall of Faith. Hebrews chapter 11, where I've invited you to turn. You should be there. You think about these guys, you think about what they believed, and they believed it all their life. I mean, they held on to it, didn't they? Once God gave them the promise, they stuck with it. Look at them in the Hall of Faith, and then I'll draw a brief conclusion. Abraham, mentioned in chapter 11, book of Hebrews, verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should afterward receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundation, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and of him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in the multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. All their life they believed that once that God told them. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God. And he hath prepared for them a city. And by faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. Abraham believed it so much he was willing to kill his boy, knowing that God would raise him from the dead, because God keeps his word. Abraham had a lifelong faith, did he not? Chapter 11, verse 20, talks about Isaac. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. We read that. Here's Jacob, verse 21. By faith, Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph, that was our text, and worshipped leaning upon the top of his staff. And then verse 22 deals with Joseph. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. I ask you in closing, do you have faith? And of course, I am primarily concerned with the saving faith. Do you know Jesus is Lord and Savior? Better yet, does He know you? Was there a time in your life where God convicted you, drew you to Jesus Christ, and God gave you repentance and faith? You repented and believed, and you trusted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You know you're a child of God. You've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. You know that you're saved. You have that type of faith? If not, dear sinner, you need Jesus today. But if you have that type of faith, are you still clinging to that faith? Is it still true to you? Is it just as fresh today as it was when you were saved those years ago? But of course, I don't exclude the other kinds of faith that we might have, all the other God's promises that we have in the Scripture. But what kind of faith do you have? Is your faith a faith which has endured or shall endure? I would remind you that the Scripture tells us that the just shall live by faith. It says so in three places, but two of them is Galatians chapter 3 and Habakkuk chapter 2. The just shall live by faith. But we're also reminded in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6 that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. If he saved you, my friend, you'll be saved, you'll kept saved all the way to the end. Do you believe that? Is that true? Absolutely. But what we see in these guys here, do you find a line between Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph? That's generational. And I'll tell you, by God's grace, our faith will be generational. You want to pass it down. You want to share it. You want to teach your children and then teach your grandchildren as they teach their children and so forth. We want our faith to be generational. It was with Abraham. It began with Abraham. But he taught Isaac and he taught Jacob. Isaac taught Jacob and Joseph. And Joseph taught the others. You'll get this promise. You'll get this promise. And when you think about a faith that we're talking about, a lifelong faith, really what it really boils down to is you have to receive the Word of God, you have to believe the Word of God, and then you have to be directed by the Word of God. And I could have just stayed right there with salvation, but I chose to use a generic Word of God because if you're going to have a lifelong faith, you're going to have to receive God's Word, you're going to have to know what God says, you're going to have to believe what God has said, and then you're going to have to be directed by that Word. What do I mean by that? I think you need to keep the Word in your memory. And then you'll need to assess your conditions and your circumstances for application of that Word. And then you need to apply it when the time comes. Every one of those guys did that. They knew the promise. But when it got a little bit shaky, there comes the Word of God back. There it was. Here's the promise. And I'll tell you, my friend, as a Christian, you need to be able to cling on to that promise. You need to be able to have faith. And you need to look at the Word of God and you go through your life and you say, well, God said this and God said that. Will you stick with it? Will you believe it all your days? Again, the just shall live by faith. And may your faith be a lifelong faith. The other place that statement is made is found in Hebrews chapter 10. I'm going to read it to you as I finish. Hebrews 10, 38 and 39 says, now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. You see that? I am absolutely convinced that genuine faith in Christ is a lifelong faith. God saved me when I was 15 years of age. I am 56, going on 57. 41 years. God still makes it fresh. How long have you been saved? How long has God given you that faith? And you look back and you go, you know what? I have a lifelong faith. From the time that He saved me till now. My dad was 45 when he was saved and he died when he was 69. But he had a lifelong faith after he was saved. And he was committed and he believed it to the day he took his last breath. I've offered you generational, four generations, beginning with Jacob, just because that's our text. But it went through Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. And they had lifelong faith. Will you have lifelong faith? Is what you believe is what will carry you to the end? I pray that it is. Faith. Faith. Very important. Let's stand. Number 410 will be the song. Father, thank you for the day. Bless your word to our hearts. And Lord, I recognize that a study such as this can be somewhat confusing and somewhat difficult to follow along. And Lord, I pray that they would take the notes with them and review them later if they've had difficulty with it. But more importantly, God, we pray that they might be able to get the gist of the message, and that is the great faith that you granted to these individuals and how it lasted for many, many, many years all the way to their death. May that kind of be the kind of faith that we have. And through thick and thin, through prosperity and affliction, persecution or not, God, may we have a lifelong faith. If not, work it in us. And we pray for the lost that they might be saved. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Number 14.